One of the things that we normally take for granted is actually press freedom. And we've seen with the Zonda Commission and with a number of other commissions in and around Cape Town and a number of organizations doing fantastic work. It is necessary to have press freedom. And today marks World Press Freedom Day. South Africa is amongst the countries that sort of pride themselves of press freedom. And especially on this radio station, we pride ourselves on that. World Press Freedom Day urges citizens from across the globe to celebrate the fundamental principles of press freedom, to assess the state of said freedom throughout the world. And in addition to that, citizens obviously called on to defend the media from attacks on their independence, and to pay tribute to journalists who have lost their lives in the line of duty. And Director at Media Monitoring Africa, William Bird, joins me on the line this evening for his thoughts on press freedom. Now, the theme for this year in Press Freedom Day today is Journalism Without Fear or Favor, and today is meant to recognize the positive effects of journalism on democracy. Not so, but amongst, you know, everybody who benefits from freedom, in this particular sense, the people who do journalism are the ones most in need of this particular liberty. William Bird, a very good evening to you and welcome to the show.
Hi, good evening, Zane. Thanks for having me on the program.
William, reporting during the lockdown is a very essential service, but nonetheless very, very dangerous. There are a number of risks involved in covering this pandemic, isn't it? And how important is press freedom in the situation of the pandemic that we have?
I mean, it's absolutely vital. And what we're seeing is that it's precisely when you have a crisis like this that the role and importance of credible journalism is so absolutely important. It's as important as having your health services prepared. You know, there's a reason that media was declared an essential service, and it's because they are an essential service. Without them, we wouldn't know what was going on. We wouldn't be able to have the kind of checks in place and expose some of the things that have been going on, you know, where there's been corruption around food parcels. It's been thanks to media exposing that's there, you know. But equally, we rely on media to get information about what's happening. So, in as much as we rely on the president and the minister of health to make announcements, it's up to media to help explain these things, to break things down for us, and for us to know how, you know, how to take things forward, and know also what's happening around the world, and not just because you can get anything on the internet, but because you need to get something from a source that is trustworthy and credible. And that really is why journalism at this time is so absolutely important.
William, one of the very important things you just mentioned is the fact that getting something from a source that is credible, and sometimes it is not always important for a journalist or a story to be the first story out there or the first situation to break that particular story, but it's also important for that particular news house or news industry to actually be credible and to be there with the correct story. What are the things I normally say to people? If you actually want the good stories, go to Media 24, go to IOL, and go to EWN, for instance. Go to those credible websites. How important are these websites for us, and how important are these media channels for us?
Yeah, I mean, you're dead right, and it's precisely because media and journalists that take time to research things, they know that they've got to get their facts correct, they've got to get things accurate, broadly speaking, most of the time. Of course, sometimes they err, but, you know, their job is to adhere to a set of standards and code of conduct that's there determined by internationally accepted principles. And that's the difference between them and things that just appear. So you'll be getting messages on your device that tells you certain things, and unless you know it's from one of those credible sources, the chances are you should be very skeptical of it, or probably not trust it at all. And that's precisely because in this age of having access to just about everything, the irony is now the real skill is in knowing who and what to trust and where to get trusted information. And this is certainly a trend that's common around the world. And it stresses why we need properly resourced newsrooms and why journalists and media need to be allowed to do their jobs.
Chatting to the director at Media Monitoring Africa, William Bird, this evening, joining me on World Press Freedom Day and telling us exactly how important it is to have a free press in a country and have a free press. And of course, the theme for this year's World Press Freedom Day is fear without fear or favor. And William, although marking this day as important, the mistreatment and silencing of information from journalists still happens around the globe. And we've actually seen that kind of mistreatment of journalists. One of our own journalists was very badly treated at the refugee crisis in the city earlier this year.
Yeah, and we know that. So in as much as South Africa does fairly well, I think we're number 31 in the world in the Reporters Without Borders recent survey of media freedom. We are, you know, we've got a lot that we can be proud of, and certainly compared to a number of countries around the world and on the continent, you know, we have a very high level of media freedom, and that's something we need to protect and guard. Some of the obvious threats against that, though, are when people attack our journalists. We've seen some of them being attacked and harassed by police. We see that often the more common form of these things these days is to attack journalists online. We've seen especially nasty incidents, and it's one of the core reasons why, you know, our rating dropped from a year ago, because a number of our journalists were attacked online, and there you're dealing with, you know, your new emerging threats where people just seek to bully, or they use trolls or bots to go after particular journalists, often women journalists, where they use any number of other insults to go after them. And then, of course, the other big threat to media freedom is disinformation, which is, you know, on the surface you can say, well, it's not an overt threat to media, but it, of course it is, because it challenges and undermines media and what we know, and it's as dangerous as the virus COVID itself.
One of the most important things, and one of the nice things, and we're going to be chatting about this a little bit later, is the Gupta Gate documentary by Riyad Desai, and you know, it's one of the popular ones out there, and we'll be sort of putting a light on this, where you know, this particular documentary actually brings about more information to the public as to exactly what happened. So how do we actually ensure that our media remains free to do their job without the threats from politicians and things like state capture and censorship?
So we rely on our constitution and our court system and on media bodies themselves and NGOs like ours. We go out and we fight for media freedom. We undertake a lot of strategic litigation to make sure that our hard-won freedoms are not undermined. You know, and already in this current lockdown state, it's easy to forget just how bad things were before now. You know, we think that they're terrible now because our rights are being fundamentally limited. And yet, if you go back a mere 25 years, you'll find that things were incredibly awful. You weren't allowed to say certain, you know, a number of things. You weren't allowed to talk about people. You weren't allowed to mention, you know, certain entities on the media. Now we can do all of those things. We can do any number of things. So it's really important that we protect those hard-won freedoms. So part of it is about making sure that we support media. It's important media builds relationships with their audiences and helps them understand why media is so important.
Today, of course, is World Press Freedom Day 2020. Chatting to the director at Media Monitoring Africa, William Bird. William, tell us a little bit about the work of Media Monitoring Africa. What do you guys do, and, you know, exactly how do you keep tabs on things?
So, I mean, we do a number of things. We do a lot of media monitoring and analysis. We've got some analyses around the COVID virus itself and how our media have been covering it. But we've also, you know, at the moment we're running a project called Real 411, which is a complaints platform. It's essentially a means for people, if they see some information, misinformation or disinformation, they can report it there, and it gets addressed with the platforms, and it gets identified so that we can help try and counter it. So there are a number of different things that we're up to, and of course I mentioned earlier that we undertake strategic litigation. So I think, you know, we're there fundamentally to help try and preserve and protect and defend media freedom.
Having a look at the countries in the world on this particular day, World Press Freedom Day, who would be at the top of the list for being having, you know, the most successful press freedom in the world, and who would be at the bottom of that list?
Sure, you know, I'm embarrassed to say I can't remember who is at the top, but from memory, it's some of the Scandinavian nations, and of course, you know, some of these things are about the fact that your nation, where you need certain elements, you need a democratic country to have a press, you know, free press. Ultimately, you're not going to have, and you're not going to have quality journalism if you don't have a free press. So if you look around some of the countries that do particularly well, you, as I said, your Scandinavians, Finland, almost always scores especially well, as does Sweden. Some of the ones that do particularly badly are often entities like Somalia. But, you know, if you look on our continent specifically and just some of our neighbours, you know, we've got Mozambique that is really in a perilous state. Zimbabwe, of course. Another beacon of light that we do have is a country like Namibia. They do really well. So there are a number of places where there's still a long way to go. And obviously part of that is, and part of the new challenge now is about making sure that all people have access to the internet and at a cheap, affordable way. And I think that that's been one of our biggest limitations over the last decade. So we're seeing increasing efforts to have internet shutdowns. Those are things that we need to guard against around the continent. But, you know, you look at America where their president actively undermines media and media freedom. So I think that he's a very real threat to these things. And then countries like Turkey, which are massive and, you know, have very severe limitations on media freedom.
Yeah, shutting down the internet is really one of the things that we need to guard against, especially in our country. And chatting to the director of Media Monitoring Africa, William Bird, and if you have any comments on World Press Freedom Day 2020, if you feel our press is free enough or our press should and could actually be freed up a lot more, give us a call, 021-446-0567, or you can send us a voice note to 072-567-1567. William, the industry is sort of teetering on the brink of collapse in many senses, and, you know, and another magazine publisher closes. So how do you see and what do you see for the future of publishing in our country?
Sure, it really isn't optimistic, I'm afraid. I wish I could say something else, but it isn't. I was on a number of webinars today where this is one of the central problems, you know, the threat of basic sustainability. We all know that unemployment is going to rocket after this, but we're already seeing some of the most negative impacts on our media sector. A number of media are on the edge of closing down. Some of them are implementing significant salary cuts, up to 40% for some of the media bodies. So we are in a very, very perilous state. I think that there's a need for an emergency plan for media to be funded. And not just because, you know, it needs to be there for our democracy. You can't have a democracy without a democratic media and a quality media. So things are looking really bad. And I think that at the same time, you know, we're seeing entities that are trying to innovate and still surviving and managing to varying degrees. So I don't think that we're at risk of losing everything, but you know, if you lose a media house, it's a severe blow for democracy. You need more media and you need greater diversity, not less, especially in a time where disinformation's on the increase and where you're seeing populism also on the increase.
Mm. Would we perhaps in the future see smaller media houses around with, you know, smaller groups of people working in those media houses, but see a more diverse and more sort of tentacled approach to media and not just have sort of huge media houses around?
Well, you think on a level that might work. But of course, the thing is, you know, digital, in as much as it's got a lot of huge advantages, digital costs money. You need people that know what they're doing to run your technology, to build the platforms, to keep things going and ticking over. So ironically, the ones that are most likely to survive this are going to be the big ones that have still got big capital behind them. The ones that are really, really suffering are your small, independent commercial media, your little newspapers, where even if they do move on to digital platforms, it's really, really hard for them to make that sustainable because they just isn't the money there. And so this raises questions about the role of the big platforms. What is, you know, what are they doing and how are they contributing? They're the ones that have taken over 85% of the advertising over the last 10 years, certainly in the States. I don't know quite what the level is here. But, you know, we're going to need to look and say, well, how do we make sure that, somehow that feeds back into the media cycle and protects journalism again, because it is it's an essential public good. If people, if we were to say we're not going to have any roads or we're not going to have any water or we're not going to have a justice system, people would say, well, that's outrageous and unacceptable. And it's the same thing with media, in effect.
Chatting, and our last question to the Director of Media Monitoring Africa, William Bird, this evening. And we're chatting about World Press Freedom Day and exactly what this freedom means, especially in a lockdown period like we are now, and especially in a situation whereby, you know, one is so sensitive to international news and you are so sensitive to everything internationally and not only what happens on our soil. William, some people say that instituting certain laws against fake news threatens to gag the sort of genuine news. What is your response to that?
So the moment people talk about introducing regulation to deal with that term fake news, you should, alarm bells should immediately start ringing loudly, you know, because it's generally in the default position for that is that you shouldn't do it, because it's far too frequently that governments around the world use it as a means to clamp down on media freedom. We've seen this in a number of countries that have introduced these laws. So if you look at Singapore, there they introduced it and the minister gets to determine what's true and what isn't. In our instance, we've got, for the first time, it is now an offence during this period that we're in, that if you deliberately spread information with the intention to deceive people about COVID or about government's actions, then you are guilty of an offence. So in as much as it is a limitation, it's been very closely and tightly defined. And so I think that within our current constitutional framework, it's justifiable and it would pass a constitutional test. But I think that if we, as we emerge from this, if there are attempts to try and regulate it in a similar way and in a broader manner, we would have to be very worried about that. Fortunately, the indications are that government sees and understands that, and that's why they're supportive of the Real 411 process, because it is independent. It's not about trying to criminalize things. It is about trying to combat a problem that undermines media freedom, undermines government, and undermines media entities.
Chatting to the Director of Media Monitoring Africa, William Bird, this evening about World Press Freedom Day. And William, thank you so much for your time this evening and have a wonderful evening.
Thank you, and keep going. It's an incredible job that's been done. Please keep it up.
Thank you so much.